All right. Here we go on another October Sunday morning in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are live in the Fox Sports RCG Home Loan Studio every Sunday morning at 8 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM at 1340 AM, Las Vegas flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights and sister station of Raiders Nation Radio and ESPN Radio Las Vegas. Also joining is our social media director, Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
And here in studio, as usual, with me, producer and Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network's locker room reporter, Chris Magnum Chapman. We are also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live and Twitch. The page is called Out of Line. That's Outta Line. Also on my personal Facebook page, and you can follow the show on Instagram and X at Out of Line Fox LV. And since we are live, your calls and questions are welcome. The Fox Sports RCG Home Loan Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap, brought to you by title sponsor RCG Home Loans, whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own. RCG Home Loans is the company to turn to for all of your home financing needs. Call 702-964-5720 to get information on all of the home financing options currently available in Nevada and across the United States. On tap, the Vegas Golden Knights, 3-0 in their first three home games, 0-3 in their first three road games. Magnum and I definitely have some things to share about in our thoughts on the VGK. Also, UNLV.
Huge. I mean, for guys to finish, we talk about all last year, offseason, we didn't finish the season the right way. Had a chance finishing earlier in the year and came up a little short. Great toughness, great resolve, and sure proud of our team.
Barry Odom, of course, the UNLV coach that won't be around long, man. That guy is so damn good. We'll hear more from him when we talk about UNLV in just a short while. We'll also be joined at the bottom of the hour by native Detroiter Chris Wynn, and we'll be doing Fact This together, talking about the Detroit Lions and the big game they have today against the undefeated Minnesota Vikings without one of the best defensive players, and as a matter of fact, for that matter, one of the best players in the National Football League. What do Chris and I think about that? What do we think has happened to the Lions' chances of making a Super Bowl run? We'll stick around. I invited a bunch of Detroit people to join today. We'll see if they have or not, and if Chris feels like it, he'll answer the phone, and we'll let a few of you talk, but you better bring it and bring something educated rather than your thoughts or worshiping Dan Campbell. Hey, I love the guy, but bring it before you just give me your opinions. No what you're talking about, please, if you're going to talk about that. Also, the Las Vegas Raiders that are in Los Angeles to play the Rams today. The Rams, not the team everyone expected them to be, and the Raiders, well, they're I think we expected them to be anyways. We'll talk about that. Their first week without Devontae Adams on the roster. He'll be showing up for Chris Magnum Chapman's New York Jets today as a big game for the New York Jets to see if they can turn things around and right the ship. And they also, Hassan Reddick also committed to ride out the year and start playing for the Jets. He'll probably start as early as next week against the Patriots. We'll talk about that as well. The Yankees move on and will now play in another World Series, their first in 15 years. We'll try to touch on that. And, of course, the WNBA Finals comes down to one game between the New York Liberty and the Minnesota Lynx. That game takes place in New York a little later today and for all the marbles. And we'll try to squeeze a little bit of that in also. That's what's on tap. If you are looking to buy a home or to refinance the home you currently own, contact RCG Home Loans today. Call 702-964-5720 for details on current home financing options right now. And guys, listen, long weekend, but also kind of a relaxing weekend for all of us. Nothing in town, UNLV out of town, the Knights out of town, the Raiders out of town. And I just went to a bunch of parties and had some good time this weekend. But listen, we're going to talk a lot about all that stuff again. Chris Wynn joining us in a little while. And for you Lions fans that are tuning in, be patient because we will be talking about the Detroit Lions in the second half of the show. We'll start the show as we always do, Spence, with a nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors.
fighters. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, the puck started about 2 weeks ago here in Las Vegas, and we watched the Golden Knights get off to their typical hot start under Bruce Cassidy. They win their first three games at home. Exciting hockey. They look good. Offensive outpouring, playing well on special teams, well on the power play, new talent producing well. Aiden Hill holding up in net. We saw Samsonov get in the last home game and played well in that one. And then, Chris, they go on the road. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't really that worried about the road trip. I knew they were playing some pretty good teams on this road trip, and it definitely wasn't going to be a cakewalk, that's for sure. You start off in Washington, where you got Alexander Ovechkin in a season where some people think he might break Wayne Gretzky's goal record this year. I think it's going to be next year. I think it requires 43 goals, but they start off there. He picks up his 700th assist in that game, and Washington outlasts the Vegas Golden Knights. They win that game. Then, of course, they go to play the Tampa Bay Lightning, a team a couple years removed from the Stanley Cup, and or just a few years removed from the Stanley Cup, and they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Again, the Knights played okay in that one, and then Samsonov goes back in goal to see if they could right the ship yesterday against the Florida Panthers. Samsonov, man, 45 saves on 49 shots, a game they lost in overtime with just over 16 seconds to go, a game that that Florida kept coming back against the Knights, and a game that I don't blame on Samsonov as much as maybe on the defensive effort at times or lack thereof effort at times against the Gold, you know, with the Golden Knights. But they played well. They were outshot almost 2-1. But in the games prior, Chris, I have watched Aiden Hill at times make some really nice saves, get in front of the pucks, and at other times, you know, I've given him the nickname on this show of the Cadillac, and that is because every now and again he drives the Civ Hill. And I say for the Golden Knights to win this season, to make another run, the Aiden Hill is going to have to keep the Cadillac in the garage. At times in those two losses on the road, he did not. And I'm not saying that some of those saves shouldn't be made or should be made. I'm just saying I don't see enough consistency out of him. I'm not saying Samsonov is the better option. But last night, yes, he let in four goals in an overtime game against the reigning Stanley Cup champions. But I thought he played well. And in the two games I've watched Samsonov play, Chris, I think I've seen better goaltending than I've seen from Hill in the four games he's played. Is that fair?
I don't know if it's fair. I think you watch the game that they played against Washington, and the whole team was flat. Like, they just weren't very – they came out flat. They were never able to really find their game. I don't know why that is. You know, first road game of the season, you travel all the way across country. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. We'd have to ask the players. Which we won't have.
Which we will.
Well, we won't have the opportunity to ask them about that game because it was three games ago. So they've turned the page on that.
That's true.
Tampa, they played good enough to win that game. They should have won that game. Yep. In fact, Aiden Hill played his best game of the season in that game, and he was phenomenal in the second period. They just had moments where, like, the second goal that they gave up was inexcusable. Shea Theodore's got to do better. You know, turns
Chris,
the puck
in the game
over.
Against Washington, just to go back to that game, there was a turnover by White Cloud that led to a goal that you talk about inexcusable turnovers up against the board. That was terrible.
But then yesterday, you know, Samsonov gives you 45 saves. That means you were under pressure the entire game.
Yeah, under duress.
And the issue seems to be where there shouldn't be an issue with the defense. Now, you have no William Karlsson, so you are missing one forward who gives you 200 feet. But they don't have enough forwards who are able to contribute in that way. You know, I think we kind of poo-pooed, oh, Chandler Stephenson, you know, he got all this money from Seattle. He's probably not worth that money. Yet, he was a guy who, as well as being a really good offensive player, was a 200-foot player. You lost William Carrier, who, again, not the most prolific offensive player, but a guy who you were able to rely on that fourth line. The fourth line's been good. Like, that's here's the problem, Brian. First line and fourth line have been really good. Brett Howden has been really good. It's what's in the middle that really has not been very good. Sure, you've got some goals from Pavel Dorofeev, but he's not a guy who is known for being the most prolific defensive forward. Tomas Hertl seems to be, I don't want to say he's struggling, but he hasn't found his game yet. Even though he had a goal last week, he still hasn't found his game. Alexander Holtz has not contributed offensively, and he's not a guy who's known for being a two-way forward. Brendan Brisson is very young, and I'm sure he's still learning the game. It's tough, right? He's thrown in a tough spot. You lost Victor Olofsson in the Washington game. Yep. We don't know what the status on him is, but it doesn't sound like it's good because he flew back to Vegas in the middle of the road trip.
And it's too bad. 3 goals in 4 games.
Yeah. I mean, and the word was he was on crutches. So
not good.
This team is already being bitten by the injury bug. And defensively, the blue line is struggling.
Yeah.
Like Shea Theodore has been, I think, your best defensive player. Brayden McNabb has contributed offensively, but he's also contributed in penalties, which is not good. You can't have Brayden McNabb committing penalties because he's such an integral part of your blue line and your penalty kill. So when he's in the box, it hurts. I think Nick Hague and Zach Whitecloud are trying to find their game still. And Noah Hanifin was a guy who we praise as being a potential Norris candidate.
Quiet as a church mouse.
Yeah, he's been pretty low-key.
Yeah.
And you need him to get going because you're paying him like a guy who, and look, it's only 6 games. It's a small sample size. There was a lot of turnover. Let's have the conversation in November. But for them to not win a game on the road, especially knowing that they had leads in 2 of the 3 games, it's tough. It's tough to come away with only 1 point on that road trip because at the very least, you should have gotten at least an overtime game against the Lightning. Bad bounce, goofy bounce, whatever you want to call it. But the second goal they gave up was bad. The third goal, I think Hagel scores from like the blue line. And I guess there was a screen. There was a collision. Petrangelo was a little slow to get over. It's a goal that it's tough to give up. I mean, it was a good goal. Give Hagel credit, but it was a tough goal to give up.
I agree 100%. The bottom line is this team has got a chance to turn it around. They've got 4 home games in a row now, 3 this week. They'll play Tuesday against the Kings, Friday against the Ottawa Senators, and Saturday night against San Jose. I'll be at that game. I'm sure you'll be at all 3. And they are...
Actually, I won't. I won't be here next week.
Oh, you're not going to be here next week?
I'll be in Nebraska.
I think I saw that. Okay, yeah. We'll get some interviews without you. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to close on this. You mentioned Brett Houghton's game. Really beautiful goal in a losing effort. Was it yesterday? And I will tell you with Brett Houghton, it's funny because it seems when I call out players, they play better. I did it against Aiden Hill, the Stanley Cup run. He had a ridiculous run. Jack Eichel, he had a great run. Shea Theodore playing better. And I called out Brett Houghton, and now look at how good he's playing. So if you guys are listening right now, I'm calling out your defense. Play better, guys. Whitecloud, you gotta win the battles against the board, especially in your own zone. It has to happen. And, all of you guys, play better defensively. Noah Hanifin, I know you'll wake up. You are one of the best defensive players on this team, a guy that has all-star potential. Get it done, man. Let's wake up and get it done, and hopefully that all starts on Tuesday night back here at T-Mobile Arena against the LA Kings. Guys, I got to talk for the next 10 minutes about this UNLV football team. I'll tell you right now, it has been nothing short of spectacular. What Barry Odom's done in such a short tenure here has literally created a culture that didn't exist. There are people around the country talking about UNLV football. Now 6-1 after the win, 33-25 win at Oregon. So many things I want to talk about in this game. And, but first and foremost, Barry Odom, how have you turned around this culture at UNLV?
Well, we got really good players, and we got a heck of an assistant coaching group, and they just stay the course. We've got a really good foundation and blueprint on what it's supposed to look like, and they go to work every single day. I'm thankful for them, honored to be their coach.
Yeah, they're honored to have you as their coach, as is the university, as should be the community, and everyone. And I really hope that next Friday night, or I should say this coming Friday night, that Allegiant Stadium is as full as it's ever been for a UNLV football game. They deserve this. This is an exciting brand of football. And Spencer, I'm going to bring in, you know, both you and Chris, it's your alma mater. You both have a lot of passion for this university. And Spencer, I know you're only a few years removed from being a student at UNLV. Did you ever think we'd be having these kind of conversations about UNLV football?
I would probably sooner say that UNLV wouldn't have a program. Like, that's how crazy it is. You know, with all these, like, NIL deals, like, coming out, it's like, you know, it almost feels like some of these lower-end programs are just going to collapse because they can't play their players. But, no, I mean, it's just amazing to see. You know, it's, I wish it happened while I was there. That would have been a lot more fun. But just seeing it evolve, and it just doesn't feel like I'm watching the same school. And I just, you know, I really appreciate Barry Odom, what he's done for the program. And it's just, it's amazing to see your favorite college team playing to the level of this, especially doing it so quickly. It kind of just happened. It feels like overnight. You can just tell from year one that he was making something special.
Spencer, you know, the minute Chris and I attended the special luncheon of Barry Odom that they had up at Flamingo at that the PTs or whatever is right up there off the 215, I have just loved this guy. He came, he said right off the get-go, I am not here to rebuild. I'm here to win, because if I don't win, I won't have a job. You don't hear coaches open up and have a little private luncheon with the media and say that. Loved him from that minute. Even if he's not here next year, which I just can't see it. I mean, maybe he'll surprise me. He really likes coaching here. This team has got recognition now, but Arkansas and several other big schools are going to come calling, and I just don't see Barry Odom remaining a UNLV head coach for very long. But you know what? Let's enjoy it while he is here. So many things to talk about in this game, Spencer. I mean, you know, UNLV leads the nation in starting field position. Let's start right there. And a lot of that centers around one of the most versatile college football players in the country in Jacob DeJesus. This guy, he's undersized, he's small, he's a gnat, but Spencer, I'm not sure there's anything this couldn't do, and that includes selling popcorn in the stands and probably kicking off and punting if we needed him to. Jacob DeJesus is just a pure, flat-out football player.
Yeah, and this is something that we haven't had a chance to talk about too much throughout the season, and that UNLV has one of the best special teams in the country. I mean, they're not the best at anything, but they're so good at all levels of football, and it just, it's from the bottom to the top. You know, punting is always really good. You know, we don't have the best kicker, but it seems like anytime they need this guy to get a field goal, Spencer, they just put him in the right position to do it.
I got
to
interject there. You're wrong. Caden Chittenden is a freshman that last year, if you knew in high school, follow this kid. He was the number one high school kicker in the country, played right here in Las Vegas, and Barry Odom gets him to stay. This kid had a number of opportunities to play all over the place, and he chose to play here. He's a true freshman, okay, right out of high school. This kid's going to be great, and he's not missing kicks. He makes them, and if you saw yesterday, one of the hardest kicks to make if you're not kicking from distance, Spencer, is kicking from the hash marks, which are farther apart at the collegiate level. And this kid made some close-up kicks from hash marks that are really hard. You've got to angle it in. It's almost like a golf shot. And this kid gets the job done. To me, he's another integral part of this team that just, they're good in every aspect, as you said. One of the special teams, Ricky White. How about this guy, Spencer? The best player on this team, period. There's no question about it. A, for sure, at worst, second-round NFL draft pick coming up. Preseason All-American. I think he's headed to being an All-American and arguably the best wide receiver in the country, potentially. Started at Michigan State, transferred to UNLV, after last season, Spencer, and 1,500 yards and being named, I think, second-team All-American, this kid could have gone anywhere, including could have tested out the NFL draft and elected to stay with Barry Odom at UNLV. That, to me, in itself, is completely shocking. And I'm telling you right now, that is because of Barry Odom and their offensive coordinator. Those two guys get the job done, Marion and Odom. And the bottom line is, they're both going to be head coaches at big-time programs at some point in time, I believe. This offense is the ingenuity that they show, the run-and-go offense, the ability to get things done. Hell, at one point, I think there were 8 of 14 on third downs into the third-down conversions into the third quarter. I can go on and on how exciting this team is to watch. But Ricky White, man, it starts and ends with this kid. He, not only is he one of the best wide receivers in the country, as you brought up, part of the reason, besides Jacob DeJesus and Critton Chittenden, that they're so good on special teams, is Ricky White. His third blocked punt of the season. He's returned a blocked punt for a touchdown this year, and we're talking about an All-American wide receiver. You absolutely put him in jeopardy by making him basically the kill guy on your punting, on the punt receiving team, and yet they can't do without him, Spencer. They got to put him in that position. He's simply that good.
No, he is, and I just wanted to say, he could make an NFL roster on special teams alone. Like, that's how good he is at the position. You know, how much teams are willing to give him a chance at the wide receiver position, I guess, will have to be seen. You know, it's a different game in the NFL, and he's not the biggest guy, so it doesn't necessarily fit the right scheme. But if he kind of fell and went to a team like the 49ers, or, you know, just one of these scheme-heavy teams that knows how to get guys open and get them into space, I mean, he can do a lot of damage, because obviously athleticism is not something that he's short on.
Spencer, this team leads the nation, in takeaways. I mean, we're talking about defense. Now, there are times they look very porous. On the big run Oregon State's quarterback had yesterday, I'm like, oh my God, here we go. UNLV goes down by 11 points. They never blinked. This, when they go down by 11 points, I mean, UNLV, before he got here under Marcus Mariota, was winning 3 games a season in a good season. Now you expect them to make runs. On the road, they've beaten Houston. They've beaten Kansas. Now they beat Oregon State. These are big programs. I don't care if the portal decimated them. They're big programs. These are character, monstrous wins for UNLV. This is a team that could be very well be ranked again when the rankings come out this week. And this coming Friday's game could be the number 15th team ranked in the country against the number 24, 25th ranked team in the country, with UNLV having a chance legitimately to be mentioned when it comes to talking about the FBS playoffs and now the new 12-team format at the end of the year. I can't believe we're having this conversation. I'm thinking I'm in the twilight zone right now. Spencer, not only that, you've got guys on that defense like Jackson Woodard. Both these kids transferred from Arkansas. Jalen Catalan. These are beasts on defense. Jackson Woodard is an undersized linebacker that will not make it in the NFL. Sorry for all those that you think he will. He's got the heart that any NFL player would love. He just doesn't have the size. And he's a tweener. You can't move him back to defensive back. And he's not big enough to play linebacker in the league. But my God in heaven, maybe we'll see him play in Arena Bowl or Canada. And Catalan is a guy that could end up playing in the NFL. He is a ball hawk. He will lay a lick on you in the secondary if you catch the ball and get into his territory. But you better be careful, because he's a sniper, and he also leads the team in interceptions with 4. This defense, Spencer, is the best defense since I've lived here in 2002 and well before that, that maybe UNLV's had ever.
No, you're right. And the one thing I just wanted to add on top of this was, there used to be a time when UNLV would go down by a field goal and kind of felt like the game was over at that point. It didn't matter who they were playing. So it's funny that we're just talking about these kinds of things. Yeah, I don't see a lot of NFL talent on the defensive side. And obviously, they have relied on their offense a lot of times, you know, in the course of the season. But unless you're like one of the biggest programs in the country, I feel like that's probably just the case across the board in college football.
It's wild. It's wild that, you know, that there's so much parity, so many one loss teams now. You know, Alabama, they're not even going to make the FBS playoffs. Georgia seemed to get themselves back in the running by knocking off the number one team in the country yesterday. I think Oregon, who, by the way, is the only team to beat Boise State this year, and they barely beat him by 3 points, is probably going to move into the number one slot, which tells you how difficult of a matchup UNLV has this coming Friday against Boise. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to get back to what I said about this team legitimately being an FBS playoff team, especially if they win this Friday. And Barry Odom was asked after the game, why this team, why, you know, his, you know, basically making his point why this team should be considered as an FBS playoff team.
I think you look at our body of work, and now the clock is rolling, and we got a very, very short week in Boise coming to town. Our guys will be ready to play. The opportunity, the stage, the opportunities for us to go compete together. We got a close team that they enjoy playing. They enjoy preparing the right way, and we'll go get to work.
I mean, you know, he's just not going to talk about it. He's looking ahead to Boise, which he should be doing, and you know, I can't emphasize, guys, how big of a game Friday night's game is against Boise State at Allegiant Stadium. It's monstrous. And the last thing I'll say about this, it's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. Do you know that Indiana is the only team in the country that has been in the red zone more than UNLV in 2024?
I watched them yesterday. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Indiana is really,
They're really good. They're really good, Chris.
Like, I had seen their record, and I'm like, I saw they were ranked, and, you know, they're one of those programs that always stinks. Like, if they make a, if they go 6-6, that's like a good season for Indiana. I watched them beat the snot out of Nebraska yesterday.
It wasn't, like, even a game.
It wasn't even a game. And they did it without their quarterback in the second half because he injured his hand. And I'm like, this team is for real.
Well, I'll tell you.
I mean, we'll find out because they've got some really tough games. Like they've got, but I listened to their coach after. And he said the funniest thing, because not to go too much off track, but I guess when he was introduced as the coach, he was like, yeah, Ohio State, Michigan. He kind of jokingly said, they stink. And they asked him about it. He goes, listen. He said, the day I was hired, it was all doom and gloom in Bloomington. He said, I had to say something to get people excited about the program.
It's really cool. He has got a good personality. It's a good team. And as I mentioned, they lead the nation as far as getting into the red zone. UNLV is second. But what's weird is UNLV is 98th in scoring touchdowns. And that brings up the final point I want to mention about this team. Several times yesterday, even the announcers had Dan Tin Cup Campbell syndrome and thought Barry Odom should have been going for 2 points. You know what Barry Odom was doing? He was making sure not to lose momentum on the road against a big-time program. That's what he was doing. He kicked extra points. He kicked field goals. And you know what? He kept them 1 to 2 scores ahead. At the end of the game, they were 9 points ahead. Had he gone for 2-point conversions and missed them both, they would have been 7 points ahead and instead of a 2-score lead. He does this the right way and coaches the right way. I'm not saying that I don't like aggressiveness, and I love what Dan Campbell's doing in Detroit. I think he's over-aggressive at times, which is why I gave him the name Tin Cup on this show, because what he did against Dallas in a game that cost him the number 2 seed last year, and what he did in San Francisco, he was Tin Cup, and we all saw it with our own eyes. I believe he learned from that. Jake Bates kicked 5 field goals against Dallas, so I believe he has learned from that, and he's got a kicker, so there's no more excuses for going for it when he shouldn't be. And I believe he'll coach the playoffs. I believe he'll coach them situationally this year. But Barry Odom shows you how valuable sometimes kicking field goals and extra points is. They beat Oregon State. They're now bowl eligible after only 7 games, which is mind-blowing. And they've got the biggest game maybe in their history coming up, regular season game, I should say, in their history coming up this Friday night at Allegiant Stadium. God bless UNLV. Barry Odom, thank you for what you've done to this town. And do me a favor, students and community, get your asses out to Allegiant Stadium Friday night and watch this game. I know there's a Golden Knights game getting that night too. If you're going to see them, that's just fine. But You need to support this UNLV team, and you need to support Barry Odom. And more than anything, get out and watch this guy coach and watch this team, because you're not going to see it for very long. He will be gone, in my guess, is after this season. There'll just be too many lucrative opportunities thrown his way with what he's done to be able to take a team and completely revamp and create a culture in a three-year period of time. It's almost unprecedented. So let's like it. Spence, we are a little behind. Let's bring in Chris Wynn and let's hit Facts right now.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
It is a fact. Last Sunday, in a blowout win over the Dallas Cowboys, the Detroit Lions lost the 2024 sack leader, a guy said to be the leading the race to become the 2024 Defensive Player of the Year, the team's emotional leader, and if the players voted, he would be the face of the Detroit Lions franchise. When Aiden Hutchinson went down with a gruesome lower leg injury last week, that all happened, and that's a fact. This, in my opinion, and the opinion of many that cover the NFL, is potentially catastrophic and could cost the Lions what looked like possibly their best season in the Super Bowl era. Again, bringing in Chris Wynn, native Detroiter, Waldo man on nearly every sports show in Las Vegas at one time or another. You can't get through a week without hearing this guy. And Chris is almost, and Chris, I only say almost because you didn't stay in bed like I did a full day after the Lions lost the NFC Championship game last year. I should say gave it away to San Francisco. But you're pretty sick about the Detroit Lions also. And how are people not understanding how catastrophic of a loss Aiden Hutchinson is to this team?
It's great to join you, Brian. You guys not aligned, of course, on this glorious Sunday morning. I don't think there's any other way you could put it other than bittersweet, right? Than what transpired on Sunday in Dallas with the Detroit Lions just absolutely dismantling the Dallas Cowboys in that football game, but losing your heart and soul on defense, the guy who was basically on pace to be the Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL. I got to tell you, Brian, and I'm sure a lot of Spence and all you guys out there from Out of Line Nation, the first thing I thought of, Mr. Feldman, when I saw that injury was remember the Titans and Herman Boone. And if you've seen that movie and you saw that press conference after they lost, you cannot replace a Gary Bertier, right? And I'm not trying to be kind of glib and, you know, not take seriously the injury that Aiden suffered. And look, when you break your fibula and your tibia in your leg, it's going to take some time to recover, and it's a big deal. But that's the first thing I thought of, Brian, was remember the Titans and Chris, Coach Herman Boone in that press conference, because that's what it felt like as far as, you know, the impact to this football team. You cannot replace a guy like Aiden Hutchinson in this defense. But then immediately after the game, I started playing general manager, right, Mr. Feldman?
Chris,
right,
you got to let me interject before you get off the subject of the remember the Titans, because we're going to get away from that, and I want to get in on that.
Talk to me.
Is
my analogy and is my my bringing up of that historic film, by the way, and, of course, Denzel Washington in that role. Is it apropos, my friend?
Listen to what I'm going to say. Chris, you know what? I had not brought that into consideration. I'm going to tell you, it's more than apropos. It's perfect. However, and it also is going to accentuate my point. That was losing a player for one game. Granted, the championship game, but one game. You can ride a sea of emotions. Everyone can lift up and rise up for one game, which I believe we will see today in Minneapolis. We will see the Lions beat the Vikings today, and Dan Campbell will take a page from Coaching 101, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to do the most common sense thing, and it's smart, even though it's Coaching 101, what any good coach would do. If somehow you lost the best player on your team 1 week removed, you know what you do? Hey, Aiden, we're going to do a little video call right before the players take the field, and you're going to talk to him, and you're going to let him see you, and you're going to get fired up. Watch it happen, and then it's going to be all over ESPN, and that's going to light them up, and they're going to play out of their mind. You're going to see guys like DJ, you know, DJ Reader Jr., who's got, you know, several sacks over his career. I should say several sacks. He only has a few sacks over his career, but he's been playing for a long time. He's 30 years old. You're going to see McNeil, who's second on the team in sacks, way back behind Aiden, 7.5 sacks. We're going to see him play better. We're going to see Anzalone play out of his mind and Jack Campbell elevate. We're going to see that secondary play crazy. Brian Branch on his way to being an all-pro player. Yes, today, that's what we're going to see. And next week, they can get by the Tennessee Titans without Aiden Hutchinson, without a replacement. The Tennessee Titans suck, and they'll be playing at Ford Field. And that'll be the first chance the Lion fans get to see the Aiden Hutchinless Detroit Lions. So Ford Field will be rocking and popping. After that, you have the Packers. You have the Houston Texans on the road. You have problems. And the emotions will wear off. You can't call Aiden Hutchinson every week, Chris, or it will wear off. Like I said, one game, remember the Titans, brother, all day and on Sunday, Sunday night, and Monday night, even Thursday night. That'll work for one game. But these players are not Aiden Hutchinson. You're not going to replace 7.5 sacks. You're not going to replace a guy that is 6'7", 270-plus pounds, and runs like a flipping gazelle. A guy that commands a double team, over 50% of the defensive snaps on the defensive side of the ball. And we're going to plug and play and pull a guy off a practice squad and replace him. Or Brad Holmes is going to go out and get a bargain defensive end from somewhere, and we're going to replace him. There are 12 regular season games remaining, including today's game, and then there's a postseason where you're going to have, at the very best, if you're lucky, you're going to play 3 games in that postseason. Maybe 4 if you want to get to the Super Bowl. You're playing 2 or 3 to get there. In the postseason, every defense will be much better, will be good, okay? They're going to slow down the juggernaut Detroit Lions offense at times. And if the Detroit Lions defense cannot get to the passer in the playoffs, they will lose. They will not make the run they did last year, and we will lose a season. And that cannot happen. They have to replace Aiden Hutchinson. Yes, Chris, you cannot replace a Gary Bertier. You cannot replace an Aiden Hutchinson. But in the Lions' case, Chris, they have to try.
And one more quick point on that, though, Brian. Another name also you didn't mention, James Houston, is going to be a huge part of this defense if he's not part of a trade package. And getting back to what you just talked about, you and I got into it a little bit, right, on social media right the day after this all went down, because we were talking about the prospects, right, of what they could do as far as a replacement. And then obviously, who are we talking about? We're talking about number 98 in Vegas with the Raiders, Max Crosby, a Michigan native, a kid who grew up a Detroit Lions fan before he moved in high school to the Texas area, right? We have other guys out there like Hassan Reddick, of course, all the, you know, discontent in New York.
No, Hassan Reddick, Chris. That's all gone on. Yeah, that's gone. Yeah. Hassan Reddick.
No, but I'm bringing up the point I'm trying to make, though. I'm bringing up names, right? You got Hunter, obviously, you mentioned the Tennessee Oilers or Tennessee Titans, right? You have Hunter there as well, too. You got Myles Garrett, obviously, in Cleveland, another team that is not going to do anything this year. I don't know exactly what the contract situation is there. My point being, though, is that, yes, I believe that you're going to talk about Brad Holmes. You're going to talk about this Detroit Lions brass looking for possibilities to bolster that defense. J.J. Watt, I don't know if you saw the interview with J.J. He was on Pat McAfee.
Of course I did.
I think it was yesterday. J.J. Watt, just how sick was Aiden Hutchinson being able to finish that sack? He just absolutely snapped his leg, Mr. Feldman, and was able to finish that sack. Completely unreal. It's going to be impossible to replace him. But I'm not in the camp that you are, that the season is over if they don't replace him, Chris.
Because I didn't say
this is a Lions team that is going to. You got to think of the rally around factor, right?
That's going to take place
around this entire situation.
I get it. And like I said, yeah. You can rally around and use emotions for a couple of games. They have 12 regular season games. Talent is going to come into play. You can only elevate your game so much, and you can't beat them. I in no way said the Detroit Lions season is a wash. If you heard me, I said they won't make a run in the playoffs. If you get to the playoffs, your season's not a wash. They will get to the playoffs, so it's not a wash. I'm saying to win in the playoffs, they have got to have a pass rush. You can't count on your offense scoring every time down the field. Jared Goff will get pressured, and we all know, face it, he sucks under pressure. Detroit Lions fans don't want to hear it. Look at the statistics. He is in the bottom eight quarterbacks in the league when under duress. When not under duress, he's in the top eight. He can be great at times. He is not good when pressured, and at times, especially in the playoffs, he will be pressured, and therefore the defense is going to have to step up. And I don't know, without an edge rusher, when you lose an Aiden Hutchinson, that you can do that over an entire season, which is just about what the Lions have in front of them. I'm not going to beat this horse into the glue factory. I'm going to say today's game is going to be a great chess match between, in my opinion right now, the best defensive coordinator in football, not a great head coach, but Brian Flores is doing a hell of a job in Minnesota, and Ben Johnson, he will be a head coach in the National Football League next year. He's not going to wait another year. If the Lions don't get to the bowl this year, he's going to move on. He is incredible. One of the most, the ingenuity he shows on offense is great. The play calling, the mixing it up, it's going to be a fun chess match to watch. What stinks and what all of you, why are they only favored by a point and a half? The Vikings I'm speaking of, it's simple, because the odds makers know not just that the Lions are a better team on paper, they are with Hutchinson. However, they know that the emotions are going to be high, and everyone knows that Aiden Hutchinson is going to do a video call to that team today. It's simple. Everyone doesn't know it. It's not a fact. Watch it happen is what I'm saying. But the bottom line is this. This team has got to have somebody else. And to not think that they're going to need somebody to come in. And one player you didn't mention that I mentioned is the Cleveland Browns have spent a lot of money on Deshaun Watson. He's a problem there now. I am telling you right now, Myles Garrett, reigning defensive player of the year, sack leader the last 2 years in the league with 31 sacks over the last two seasons, is a guy that might come available by the trading deadline. And I don't care what you have to mortgage. Draft picks, players, money. Here's the deal. The Lions have won crap in 66 years. I don't care about the run last year. The only teams history remembers are champions and maybe the team that lost in the Super Bowl. By the way, a game the Lions have still never played in. So the bottom line is, get to a Super Bowl. This year, the NFL, especially the NFC, is as soft as I can remember it. If there was ever a year for this team to make a run, it's right now. Mortgage everything and get to the damn Super Bowl and win it. Don't count on next year, because Spencer, I'm going to bring in right now. Why don't you tell the audience what you and I listened to and how many times I said this last season? Go ahead, Spence. Let them know what I said last season. When people were trying to comfort me about the Lions' loss to San Francisco, saying, don't worry, there's a dynasty there. Tell them exactly what I said, my friend.
Yeah, well, I also remember you talking about, like, there was this big article that came out talking about, like, just how amazing the Lions were. And you were just mad about, like, they have never done anything. And, you know, one of the big points you've always talked about is they're just a few key injuries away, like a Penei Sewell or an Aiden Hutchinson away from falling apart. I mean, they depend so much on these guys. I know you can say that about a lot of teams, but it does feel that way, especially for the Lions. You know, what Aiden Hutchinson does for the team, and this is what you've basically always talked about, it can't be understated. You know, as a leader, as a, obviously, just on the field, he makes everyone around them better. And we'll have to see, like, what these guys are, because they can't depend on him. And Aiden Hutchinson was on a, you know, we talked about it before the show. He was on pace for a Defensive Player of the Year award. I mean, no doubt about it. He has been dominating all season long right before that moment. And again, like you said, he even finished that sack after shattering his leg. That just shows the kind of guy that he is.
And Chris Wynn, I'll bring you in on this. My father was a doctor, as you know. I almost went to medical school. I'm not a doctor. I worked in a hospital for 3 years. I know about surgeries, and I know about injuries. I know about orthopedics. I could probably blow your mind with what I know about medicine. One thing I do know for sure is surgeries are typically conducted about 3 days after injuries take place for one reason. It's something called swelling, that you don't want to cut something while it's still swelling because you're going to create more swelling. When an injury is conducted the same day or the same night, it's called an emergency surgery, and it only takes place when life or limb is threatened. Aiden Hutchinson had surgery the same day. Everyone is so sure he's going to come back, maybe by the Super Bowl. Do you think, Chris Wynn, that if they knew right now Aiden Hutchinson's career is over with, do you think they would tell the team, let alone the public? Do you think they would really let us know? I want you, Chris Wynn. Spencer, I made you do it earlier, to watch that injury close up three more times. His leg wrapped around McNeil's shin. That is not a clean break. That is a shatter, okay? And no one wants to face it. Look at it again. It looks like a clean break to you. Are you kidding me? Every injury I have seen of that magnitude, the players never step back on the field. Theismann never played another down. Tim Krumrie never played another down. Napoleon McCallum never played another down. Those injuries are unbelievable. They're hard to watch. They're catastrophic. And we're just assuming not only that Aiden Hutchinson is going to come back, that he's going to come back the same player. Chris Wynn, that is a tremendously large assumption. And we all know about assuming. I think he will come back. But to think that he's going to come back and be a dominant top three edge rusher again in the league, that is a big ask, is it not?
Oh, there's no question about it. Look, there's no doubt about it that there is a level of uncertainty, right, when it comes to Aiden Hutchinson and moving forward. But I'm not going to sit here and act like some medical professional gentleman and act like, because I have
no. But Chris, I asked you a question to start.
Yeah, how
answer the question,
Chris.
Chris, answer the question. Do you think they would let the team and us know if they knew it was a career ending right now during the season? After, you think they're going to let us know right now? Do you think so?
Well, look. I mean, Dr. Feldman, your dad would be someone to be more honed in on that. I mean, obviously the answer would be no, right? But at the end of the day, there's going to be eternal optimism because all of us, what we know that what kind of character that kid has.
We're homers.
Right?
We're homers.
What kind
Chris.
Of motor? Yeah, but what kind of motor he has, the kind of person that Aiden is, you know. So there's going to be a belief that he's going to come back. But the reality is what? The reality is there's a chance, absolutely, and it's probably a decent chance that he's never the player that he was before that game against the Dallas Cowboys last week. So, again, like I'll say, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not someone who can weigh in on shattered legs, as you put it, which you correctly put it, right? It wasn't just some...
Did it look like a clean break to you? Tell me that. Did it look like a clean break? And why the hell did they do surgery that night? You know why? Because there's bone fragments in muscle around there, and bone fragments can get infected, and infections can cause gangrene. Again,
opinion. That's no doubt.
Opinion.
But look, I think one thing we have to point out and understand, though, is that right now we have access to the best medical professionals and facilities in the history of mankind, right? And I believe that hospital in Dallas, Texas, is one of the best in the country when it comes to those types of injuries or those types of surgery. So I think that lends to the reason why it was done that quickly that day. But I take your point, Brian. I do take it, and I know we probably got some other things to get to here, but there's no question that at the end of the day, all right, yes, we Lion fans are going to look at it, and we're going to examine the history of all things Detroit Lion fandom, and we're gonna you know, put that into the mix here. But I just think that this is a situation in which it's unique, and it's unique to Aiden Hutchinson, and it's going to depend on, you know, how the surgery went from a medical standpoint. And again, I'm not really qualified to comment as to whether or not I think it's going to be something that is either successful or unsuccessful with respect to Aiden Hutchinson's career moving forward.
Not going to argue with that. And, as you know, New England and Jacksonville going at it right now. New England is up on Jacksonville, actually 10-7 in the second quarter. Chris Wynn, I want to thank you for taking time to join the show. I am going to say that today, remember I said this, I want no grief. Today's game against the Minnesota Vikings is absolutely not an indicator of how this team will play without Agent Hutchinson. And if you think that it is, then you're a moron. And I'm not talking about you, Chris Wynn, obviously. I'm talking about anyone out there listening, because you ride a sea of emotions. It's the game after it happened. Everything is set in. This team is going to be higher than flipping Mount Everest right now, and they are going to beat the Vikings today. That's why the line is only 1.5 points. I would jump all over the Lions because they will win this game going away simply because the emotions. Again, not an indicator. An indicator is going to be 3 weeks down the road if they don't get a replacement. He is Chris Wynn. I appreciate you joining the show, my friend. Got to let you go. We got to bring in the scooper as we talk about today's picks and what we're going to have. And I'm sorry, the phone lines, we weren't able to get to any phone calls today. Just not enough time in the show. But I hope Lions fans out there that did pay attention to the show have a little bit of second thoughts about this. By no means am I predicting doom and gloom. It's a playoff team. They will make the playoffs. But if you want to make a run for your first ever Super Bowl and championship game appearance in 66 years, you need a pass rush. Defense wins championships. Never, ever, ever forget that. It's the oldest cliche in sports, and it still rings true today. Offenses do great, but you can win with a bad offense. Trent Dilfer won with the Baltimore Ravens. Brad Johnson won with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can win with a bad quarterback. Peyton Manning, at the end of his career when he was a pylon, won with the Denver Broncos. But all three of those teams had a great defense. Let's get to the picks. Bringing you in, Scooper. All of us won last week. 4-0 in studio for the first time this year. That deserves some credit. Scooper, you're still leading the way this year, which you need to be, because I beat you last year, which to me is putrid. If I beat anybody in anything, it's putrid. So this year you got to pick it up, and you have done that right now. Scooper is leading the way right now, and his record is 6-1. Spence is number in second with 5-2. Spencer brought up the rear last year. Mags is 4-3, and I am 3-4, but I'm coming on. I came on late last year. I'll come on this year. And I'm going first so nobody can steal my thunder. The Miami Dolphins, without a quarterback, absolutely stink and are among the worst teams in the NFL, even though they've got maybe the NFL's most exciting player in Tariq Hill. Miami is a 3-point dog at Indianapolis today. Indianapolis and the old Joe Flacco wiped the floor with Miami. I am taking Indianapolis and giving up those 3 points. Scooper, you're leading the show. You get to go second.
Very comical the way you just said these past two games. I'm on the opposite side of both of them. My best bet's the Miami Dolphins today. I think they come out of their bye week. Good game plan. Huntley's going to be prepared. And I think that they steal one today from a Colts team that's a little bit of a sell high team.
Now I'm terrified. All right, Scooper is going opposite of me, playing the other side of the fence. Spence, you're in second place. You get to go third.
I like the Atlanta Falcons. The Seattle Seahawks are super injured. The Falcons are at home, and they really look like they're starting to bring it on. Their offense is really starting to gel, so it's only -3. I really like that line.
All right, you're going to go with Atlanta, and they're +3 or -3? I didn't see the line.
-3.
Okay, so Atlanta -3. And Mags, go ahead.
Well, my initial thought was I was going to go with the I liked the Texans on the road to Green Bay, and I'm going against my judgment. I'm not going to take that one. I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders. I know that line's been bet way up, but Carolina is atrocious. One of the worst teams I've ever seen in the NFL. I like Washington at home. It's a big number, but they've been playing really well. Jaden Daniels is he's having a phenomenal season. So I like Washington football team.
Washington -8. If you didn't hear, Lions fans, Hassan Reddick will not be the replacement for Aiden Hutchinson. He will be with the Jets. I think Devontae Adams motivated him. He'll play out his contract. Who will the Lions get? What's going to happen this week? Well, you'll find out today, and we'll talk next week. Liberty and the Lynx playing their Game 5 today, and we'll talk about that next week after that. And, of course, the Yankees made the World Series. We're out of time. This is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman for Chris Chapman, Spencer Ostrowski. Thanking Chris Wynn and the Scooper. We're out. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.